Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Little Purim, was written by Harry Gersh and is presented in observance of the Jewish holiday of Purim.
Once upon a time, well, come to think of it, it wasn't as long ago as that. It was only 87 or 104 years ago. There was a little boy living in the town of Pripichik. Now, this little boy's name was...
Karpel.
Karpel? Am I in the right story? I was telling about a boy called Little Purim.
Karpel.
Oh, yes, his name was Karpel, but everyone in Pripichik called him Little Purim. Why? I'll tell you in a minute. Now, this little boy lived with his mother in the hut at the edge of town. They were very poor.
Come, Karpel. We'll have our supper.
Sure, Mama.
Oh, Karpel, it's only bread again. No butter, not even any milk.
Oh, I like bread. And I think I'm getting a little too old for milk. Anyway, tomorrow is Purim.
Purim was the one day of the year when Karpel and his mother had enough to eat. On Purim, Karpel became the breadwinner for the family. He had a violin, and on it he could play three Purim songs. Only three, mind you. So, on the eve of Purim, Karpel would take his violin and go from house to house, from Purim party to Purim party, and play his songs. That's why everyone called him Little Purim. This year, the one I'm telling about, Purim came late. Little Purim and his mother hadn't had a decent meal in months. It was the eve of Purim, and they had just sat down to supper when...
What? Well, who could be calling on us? Go see, Karpel.
Sure. Hello.
I have walked all day, and I'm hungry. Can you give me some food?
Why, will you wait a moment, please? Mama?
Yes?
It's a stranger with a long white beard, and he wants some food.
God, but we haven't enough for ourselves, and we don't know who he might be.
But he must be very hungry, and tomorrow is Purim.
All right, tell him to come in.
Welcome, friend stranger. Won't you come in?
Thank you. It's sad to be so far from home on Purim.
Please sit down, sir. We have only some dry crusts of bread, but you are welcome.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm from so far away that you cannot get there by walking, nor even by riding.
Not by walking and not by riding?
Now, Karpel, our guest is hungry. Save your questions for after supper.
Oh, I'm sorry. Will you say the prayer for the breaking of bread?
Thank you for the honor. Amotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringest forth bread from the earth.
After their poor meal, Little Purim took his violin and went into the town to play his three songs at as many Purim parties as he could get.
Ho, ho! It's Little
Purim come to play for us. Come inside. Come in. We've been waiting. Look, everyone. Little Purim is here. And tell me, have you learned any new songs, Little Purim?
No, still the same three.
Here, Little Purim, here. Have some homantashen and these Tegler honey balls before you start playing. They'll give you really strength to play.
No, thanks. But I'll put them in my pocket for later if you don't mind.
Oh, sure, sure. Take all you want. And these pennies, too. Now, play us Shoshana Shahakov.
After Little Purim played his three songs, he went to the next house.
Fine, Little Purim, fine. That's the best playing of his Monday Purim I ever heard. You're getting better each year.
Thank you. Now, if you don't mind, I'll get on to the next house.
Oh, but won't you eat at least one of our homantashen before you go?
If you don't mind, I'll take them home. We have a guest this Purim.
At the next house, Little Purim ended with his third song, Hup, Meine Homantashen.
Won't you eat something with us, Little Purim, after that fine play?
Little Purim went to another house and another house, playing his three songs, taking his pay in pennies, and in homantashen and teglach and cookies and honey cake, saving it all for the party with his mother and the stranger. Then it was late. There were no more parties to play for, though Little Purim started for home. Now, while he'd been playing, the snow had started to fall and the wind had risen. And Little Purim, who hadn't had anything to eat all day, just some dry crusts of bread, was getting faint with hunger.
Oh, it's so far to home. And I'm so hungry. So tired. I'll rest here a moment.
Little Purim huddled down in an alleyway between two buildings and closed his eyes. No sooner had he closed his eyes than he heard the most beautiful music. It seemed to come out of his violin, and yet it didn't. So Little Purim opened his eyes to see who was playing.
But no one is playing. Where's the music coming from?
Over there. Where do you think?
Why, who are you?
I'm an usher, a court usher, from that palace over there.
Palace? But that's Beryl, the horse barrel stable.
That was Beryl, the whatever you call him, stable, but we changed it. Look.
Why, it is a palace. How beautiful. But how did you change it?
Simple, like this. But we're wasting time. Come.
All right. What am I doing? Who would want me in a palace? You've made a mistake.
No mistake. The king wants you.
The king?
Sure, here. Go right in.
Go in? How can I? The doorway is at least 8 feet above ground.
Oh, you live people. Build a stairway with your violin.
Is something the matter with my ears? I thought you said build a ladder with my violin.
I did. Play a note.
Why, I'm 2 feet off the ground.
Play a middle note.
My feet up.
Now a low note. Mind you, not too low or you'll go over the roof.
But that's backwards.
Of course.
The usher led Little Purim inside the palace into a grand ballroom filled with people dressed in silk and brocades that rustled and whispered. At the far end of the ballroom were three people.
Come, come, stop dragging your feet.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, little Purim. I am King Ahasuerus.
King Ahasuerus?
And this is my queen, Esther.
Welcome, little Purim. This is my uncle Mordecai.
Hello, hello. Here, you're something of a fiddle player.
Why, you're the stranger.
Stranger? Why, I've never been a stranger in my life.
Oh, forgive me, Reb Mordecai, but you look just like the stranger who came to our house this evening. The same eyes, the long beard, and the hair.
Well, it couldn't have been Mordecai. He's been here all night, haven't you, Mordecai?
Sure I have.
Yes, he's been here all evening, little Purim. But now, will you play for us?
Yes, that's why we invited you. Here it is, Purim, even the royal musicians got lost. Silly.
Me? Play for Queen Esther and King Ahasuerus? Oh, I couldn't.
Of course you could. We heard that you played beautifully and that you specialize in Purim songs. Won't you? Please.
All right.
Usher, announce the dance.
Your lords and ladies, little Purim will play for the Purim dance. Take your places.
So little Purim played for King Ahasuerus and Queen Esther in the royal court. Of course, he played for Janis Yaakov. Pismon le Purim. And he played Hup Meine Hommentaschen. Then he was through. Now, normally, little Purim would have tucked his violin under his arm at this point and left for the next party. But the lords and ladies of the court gave him such a reception that he started all over again. He played them backwards and forwards and sideways. Then he tried it with all the songs together. Then he stopped.
Very fine, very fine, little Purim. My own musicians couldn't have done near as well. But tell me, the songs you played at the end sounded very much like the songs you played at the beginning.
And very much like the ones in the middle, too.
But they were all beautiful and beautifully played.
Yes, your majesties, they did sound alike. They were. I know only three songs.
Quiet!
Quiet!
That's three songs more than we would have had if little Purim hadn't come to play for us.
Why do you play only three songs, little Purim?
I can't seem to learn any more. I've tried to learn other Purim songs, and songs for Pesach, and Hanukkah, and Sukkot. I just can't.
But surely, if you really try...
No, it just doesn't work.
What do you think, Mordecai? You're a wise man.
Might be the violin.
Yeah.
Play a high note, little Purim. As high as you can. Come on, higher. Higher.
It won't go.
Well, we have to fix that. Esther, my queen, take little Purim's violin and laugh into the sound box.
Now, try it, little Purim. Try it, little Purim.
Yes, Queen Esther. What was that? Did I do it?
Sure you did. But it's nothing to worry about. That was Haman's heart sighing.
I broke Haman's heart?
Sure. Every time a good person laughs with happiness, even through a violin, Haman's heart sighs again.
After that, little Purim played again, and the king and Queen Esther and the people of the court danced. Even Mordecai danced once. Finally, the three songs that little Purim knew just plain wore out.
You'll just have to play a new song. Your violin is fixed now. Let's try.
But I don't know any others.
Oh, we'll fix that. Call the royal ballad singer.
Call the royal ballad singer.
There's a man knows every song in the air. He'll teach you.
I am here, Your Majesty.
Oh. Oh, singer. Sing some new song for little Purim so he'll be able to play them on his violin.
Yes, sire.
Now, listen close, little Purim. He's about to begin.
Why doesn't he start?
He has. He's singing now.
But I don't hear anything.
That's all right. Your violin hears.
After that, little Purim played one more song. As it ended, Mordecai looked up and saw the windows turning gray. The night was almost over.
Your Majesty, it is almost morning. We must leave.
Yes, but before we go, we must reward little Purim for the finest Purim party we have ever had.
Call the royal treasurer.
Call the royal treasurer.
There he is.
Why does he have bells sewed to his clothes?
How else would you dress a treasurer? Have you brought your treasures, treasurer?
Yes, sire.
Fill little Purim's left pocket with gold.
And fill his right pocket with rubies and diamonds.
Gold from the king, jewels from the queen. What will you give, Mordecai?
My gift has no weight and it can't be seen. Yet it will last longer than gold and will bring more happiness than jewels.
Has no weight and can't see it, but it's better than gold or jewels? I don't believe there is such a thing.
Well, I've given it to little Purim. We'll have to ask him next, Purim.
Suddenly, everything went dark, and little Purim felt as if he were flying through the air. When he opened his eyes, the sky was brightening in the east, and he was standing right in front of his own house.
Oh, my little Carpel, I've been so worried. Where have you been all night?
Didn't have to worry about me. Oh. We'll never have to worry about anything ever again.
What?
Oh, no more worries.
Oh, hello, friend stranger. Have you been here all night?
Yes, your mother was kind enough to let me bed down here in the kitchen when the storm started.
Are you sure you've been here all night?
Carpel, what's the matter with you? Why are you questioning our guest like that? It's not polite. Of course he's been here all night.
I was just wondering. Oh, but I haven't shown you. I've got gold and diamonds and rubies. Look!
Gold?
Jewels?
Why, they're just pennies and homintoshen and tegel and cookies. But I had them. The gold and jewels. I had them.
Oh, that's all right, son. You brought home some wonderful things. We'll have a real party.
No. No, I really had them. You don't believe me. They must be here. It was all a dream. A dream.
It must have been a dream, Carpool. Where could you get gold and jewels in Pripyat, even if it was Purim?
But it wasn't a dream. It couldn't have been. It was too real.
Oh, no, don't, Carpool. Don't, dear. I know. I'll make some tea and we'll have a party. And then you can tell us the whole story.
Then what happened?
Then the treasurer filled this pocket with gold from King Ahasuerus.
That one?
Yes, this one right here.
And?
Then he filled this pocket with jewels from Queen Esther.
Wait. Does the pocket have any holes?
Oh, no. No. I sewed them myself last night.
What did Mordecai give you?
Mordecai? Say, are you sure you stayed here all last night?
Carpel, you're being impolite again.
I'm sorry. Mordecai didn't give me anything.
Nothing?
Oh, just some silly riddle.
How did it go?
Something about it has no weight and you can't see it, but it lasts longer than gold and brings more happiness than jewels.
It has no weight and you can't see it.
It brings more happiness than gold or jewels. Well, one part of the riddle has worked out.
What? Which part?
Whatever it is that Mordecai gave you, it certainly lasted longer than the gold and jewels you got.
After tea and 6 Hommentaschen, little Purim felt better. After 10 Hommentaschen and 2 handfuls of Teglach, he felt much better. After 14 Hommentaschen and 4 handfuls of Teglach and 5 cookies, he suddenly found that he wasn't hungry.
Carpel, you haven't played for our guest. I'm sure he'd like to hear one of your Purim songs.
Yes, if you would. I have a strong partiality to Purim songs.
I know only 3, but I'll play them for you.
What's that? That's not one of your songs.
No, it isn't. I don't even know this song. I'll try again.
That's Be My Mordecai, a favorite of mine. Play, little Purim. Be My Mordecai of your stare. Meshushan Habiro. Kesiomad Alechem, Homo and Horosho. Homo and Horosho.
I can play another song, another song!
It has no weight, and you can't see it, but it will last longer than gold and bring more happiness than jewels.
Oh, I see. That's the gift that Mordecai gave me. But why?
Because, little Carpel, Purim isn't only a feast day that comes once a year. Every year, almost every day, we have to be delivered up from another Haman. Even this night, you were delivered from the Haman of the world, from hunger and cold and poverty. So now you will play not only on Purim, but on all holidays.
And little Purim did. When Pesach came, he played Chag Gadol. For Lag BaOmer, he played Bar Yochai. For Shavuot, he played Akdamot. And he played for Sukkot, Simchat Torah, and Hanukkah. He played for each day of happiness and each day of sorrow. For each day of remembrance and each day of deliverance. And every time little Purim played, everyone who heard him remembered that Purim has to happen every day. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Sidney Guffman of the Congregation of Agudas Achim, San Antonio, Texas. Rabbi Guffman.
We are still under the spell of the Purim story we have just heard. Still ringing in our ears are the words of the stranger. Every year, almost every day, we have to be delivered from another Haman. In this mood do we observe the Purim festival and reread in the biblical book of Esther the story of the first original Haman. It is an absorbing, highly dramatic tale of a conspiracy against a minority people and their hairbreadth escape from utter extermination. Like all masterpieces of literary art, the Book of Esther is local only in color, but universal and eternal in significance. Stripped of their oriental setting, the basic human motives and conflicts depicted therein remain essentially unchanged. In various guises and disguises, the Hamans and Mordecais reappear in every generation, including our own. Thus, when the first of all the Hamans was persuading his royal master to annihilate the Jews of his empire because their laws are diverse from those of every people, he was virtually formulating the political philosophy of all future totalitarian states, including those of our own time. He was advocating regimentation of thinking and living and denying the right of any group to be diverse and distinctive in character. Or when Mordecai did not bow down nor prostrate himself before Haman, we recognize in him the champion of what we moderns call democracy and the dignity of the human personality. In our day, we behold the whole world divided into two opposing hostile camps between the rival philosophies symbolized by Haman and Mordecai, totalitarianism and democracy. May merciful providence permit democracy to emerge triumphant so that a free and enlightened mankind may celebrate a universal Purim in which all men will share light and gladness, joy and honor.
Thank you, Rabbi Guthman. Our Eternal Light drama today, Little Purim, was written by Harry Gersh and was presented in observance of the Jewish holiday of Purim. The music was composed by Morris Mimorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. David Anderson was featured as Little Purim and Peter Capel as Mordecai. Adelaide Klein as the mother and Alexander Scourby as the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.